The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our website at messagecenter.show for all of our episodes.
Okay, so on with the updates. We have an update to Secure Score, feature update. And this has been, what are we looking at here? Improvement on some actions to ensure more accurate representation. Mm-hmm. I think we've seen this message before, just an update to say that we've updated the rollout timeline below. So the accuracy is almost there. Still going to be delivered soon.
Right. That's it.
Yeah, and that was MC213621. We have Migration Manager moves out of public preview. This is going to be one which is quite important to organizations that want to try and use out-of-the-box tools for migrating from file server into SharePoint Online and would seem other destinations too.
Yeah, no, this is from you're wanting to go on-prem to Office 365 into the Microsoft 365 cloud. So it is really taking what you have with the SharePoint migrator, the tool that you can download and get ready, you know, using straight away, and moving it to a cloud management type of service. So basically you download the tool to download on many machines, and it's just distributing the load is what it's doing. And so you download this the little application on every machine, and you can manage those machines' work from the cloud. So that's what this is, the Migration Manager. And so this has been in preview. So now it's GA, it's generally available. And mid-May is what it says, and well, we've already passed that. Go out there and use it. I use the SharePoint migration tool all the time. If you are doing a massive migration you have hundreds or thousands of users' data, like in their personal F drive or whatever your drive is, and you're wanting to migrate those all up to OneDrive, for instance, then this is the tool for you.
Yeah, it reminds me of some stuff I know that goes on in the background with some other migration services, third party. Similar kind of systems, right? You know, trying to spread that load across multiple virtual machines. Look, this next one is an interesting move. Outlook for iOS retiring support for 27 languages. That's MC213632. This may be a hangover from Acompli, which used to be, it's what Microsoft acquired for the Outlook for iOS, that they supported a number of different languages, and now 27 of them have been removed to bring them in line with the rest of Office, because the rest of Office don't support them.
Yeah, and I think that's fine. This is one of the several messages I was talking about when I sent out a tweet on, I don't know, was it Friday or Saturday, but saying there's some interesting posts, there's interesting messages. This is one of them, and I think you're right, it's a leftover, but whenever you see Microsoft removing language support from an application, I think it is time to take a pause and understand, and within your organization, if it's being used, then it's one of those times where you're going to have to figure out what you're going to do moving forward. How do you support your users if they're using some a language that is listed, Albanian or Afrikaans or Slovenian? There's a lot here. So
Ian Moran's a little upset that Irish is being removed.
Right. I will say no one could understand it anyway, but
that's the accent.
that's a dig at Ian, not at the Irish people. I love you all, and I love Ian, but I was just kind of giving him the business. But anyway, so this is one of those. It is listed as a major update, and I think it should be in that if your people are using alternate languages, you know, any of these languages in Outlook for iOS, then you're going to need to get on it and let them know.
Yeah, and I guess one could argue then that maybe it's not as important if those languages aren't there in Office. So, yeah, all right. Well, yeah, we're all on always on about consistency and making sure that it's the same across experiences.
Yep.
Third-party single sign-on for apps and Teams, MC213778. This will be welcome. You know, there's often when you want to switch to some of the apps within Teams, sometimes you have to sign in again. And this is even when it is in the background, SSO with Microsoft 365. So good to see that Teams is helping pass that those credentials, that session along so that you don't have to sign in again.
Agreed.
What do people need to know about that? Well, it's featuring coming in late May. Is there anything to prepare?
No, there's no IT admin changes for you to make or can make. There's nothing you can do. However, if you have developed an app for Teams, then you may need to resubmit that so that single sign-on works.
There you go. Yep. Okay. This next one, contextual search, which is Control F, and we use this shortcut key in many different places to find stuff, to find things in a document on a page, is coming to Teams, MC213822. And, you know, I Control F will take us to the search box, we'll search for stuff, and I think it says it's within a specific chat or channel.
Limited to the focus chat or channel. That's right.
I mean, how big's the chat?
Yeah, well, it depends. I mean, we've had some conversations around, you know, people wanting to use chat to have conversations with, you know, many people all at once, and it could be something that goes on for a very long time. So anything that helps improve search in Teams for me is a welcome addition. I do like to be able to just do Control F because we do that in everything. I do it on web pages and documents and everything else. So I think it's great. I would like to see Teams search expanded and to where it's, you know, when I do Control F, I would like to, yes, surface those that content of the current chat or the current channel at the top, but go ahead and search everything else too. You know, I feel like maybe that would be too much indexing and all that. I'm not sure. But anyway, so anything that improves search is a welcome for me.
There isn't many clues when you look at the screenshot showing what this is like to say, look, I found the word design in this chat. When I look at that.
Well, it's because the results are on the left-hand side, which is a little, I think, a little wonky. But if you think about it, you're going to click on the item that it found, and then it's going to display the content on the right-hand side. So I kind of see that, but when you're first using it, I would suspect that people would do a search, look down, and in the main area, it's going to have a looking glass and a paper, and it's going to look like it didn't find anything. And people are going to go, wait, you know, I think this is one, again, that you need to make sure that you just communicate this to your users that this is what it's going to look like. And especially, I think help desk maybe need to be informed of this as well, just because there, you know, there may be some calls saying, hey, I tried to do a search and couldn't find anything. It's over on the left-hand side. Click that and, you know, it'll show up.
That's consistent with search across Teams and files, et cetera. You know, and you usually have those filters along the top. Click and find your result. Yeah, it was just my comment was that between just doing a regular search and having those filters or doing Control F.
It's narrowed the scope,
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what it looks like.
Yeah.
The upload center is being replaced by in-app files needing attention experience, MC213766. Remember all those files that didn't synchronize properly within OneDrive for business way back in the day before it was fixed. We used to have to manage a lot of those files there when there were
Mm-hmm.
clashes and issues that were around syncing and stuff that was still sitting there waiting to update. Also, dodgy migration methods of, oh, we don't need a tool, let's just get everyone to connect to libraries with OneDrive and drag and drop, right? Yes, well, upload center. It was a separate thing, sat in your system tray, and now it's going to be inside the app that is managing that document. Word document doesn't sync, then the Word document will tell you about it, not an upload center.
Yeah, and that's great, except that, and I think another little bit of evidence or a little bit of truth that we need to share is the syncing experience improved greatly as well. So not only did we kind of remove this upload center, or we were going to remove this upload center and change it, but it's also the syncing experience was the engine was updated and it's vast improved. However, there are times when syncing issues happen. But you have to remember, it's not like this announcement talking about the upload center being replaced means that there's not going to be any syncing issues. There could be. And but that also means that I think one of the, and hold your breath, everyone, is that one thing about having the upload center was we're not syncing just Word documents. We're not syncing just PowerPoint documents. We're syncing all these documents. And it was actually nice to have it in one place to see if there were issues. Now, I'm going to have to be in the application itself to understand if there's a syncing, if there's a save issue, files needing attention. I'm not actually liking that. But hey, whatever, float your boat, I guess. But I actually would rather it all be in one place so I could see that. So anyway.
Yep. So it's good to highlight that impact, that you won't see whether a file has failed to upload or not unless you're within the app. And this example here in the PowerPoint, if you don't make PowerPoint presentations very often, you make a change, it doesn't sync, and then you close it, then you won't know until you open it. You're not going to have anything down that system tray telling you. So that change is happening. And yeah, your monthly channel will begin seeing this in mid-May, so that's now. Semi-annual targeted, we'll see it in August 2020. Okay, the following update is new features for self-service purchase user request workflow, which doesn't actually mean a lot when you see it on its own, but this is referring to being able to purchase those licenses for Power Automate, and this is MC213897.
Well, this is
The
one of the, so if you everyone remembers, there was a big dust up about this when they announced that, hey, your users are just going to be able to buy licenses using their own personal credit card. You know, there's nothing you can do about it. We're going to let them do it and there's no way you can prevent it. Well, then they changed their mind and they allowed us to prevent it as administrators if we so choose. However, that left a gap of if we turn it off but users want to do it, then what is the solution? And the solution, I guess, was they call help desk or something and try to figure out all of that business of who to contact and who to get approval from. And this is kind of that fix for that middle ground of we've turned it off, but we want to give people who have the legitimate need the ability to do it. How do we do that in a great way? And I think this is a good solution to that.
Yep, so you'll make that request to say, I'd like a license, thanks. And your administrator is going to see that now within the admin center so they can manage that and then assign a license. We talked about something like this last week with Teams, except that it just automatically happens. So it would seem
Well,
this would be a
yeah.
nice workflow to use for that.
Maybe, yes, I can see if you don't want people using Teams, but so it's
Nobody
kind of
wants
akin to
that.
that. Yeah, right. I think that's the point. But I think maybe it's kind of akin to that. You know, with the Teams thing, it was if they have a license, if there's a license available, we'll go ahead and provision it for them. Here, it's them purchasing a license. But I can kind of see it's akin to that as well. Why not do that for Teams? However, I think it probably would be a massive amount of requests for Teams, and Power Platform may be a little less number of requests, especially right now.
So we'll start to see that rolling out in mid-June and completed by end of July. And yeah, so good to see that this is, if this is more evidence that if you have, or you take issue with a certain decision that Microsoft making in your product, do let people know, do share your opinions, and things like this will happen to bring about change. All right, next
Next
update.
up.
It's an updated update. CS Teams meeting policy update to manage access to past meetings. Based on the learnings that we have had in the early rings, we're making a decision to make additional changes to the code before we roll out.
Yeah, this
So,
is the one that was published earlier this month,
yeah.
MC211972. Yeah, just they're changing some things in the background in the code, so they've delayed it a little bit. And they will, once they start the rollout again, they will put another post in the message center.
That's right.
This next one, Daryl, is another in the list of why. So there's some interesting messages this week. This is MC213947, removing OneDrive Admin Center link from the OneDrive web page for admins. There's a lot of admin and OneDrive in that title. So let's talk about what it is. If an admin, someone who is an administrator of OneDrive, the service in Microsoft 365, goes to OneDrive, to their OneDrive, there's a link to the OneDrive Admin Center that's dynamically placed on their page in the bottom left. This link allows you to click on it and go to directly to the admin center. Now they are going to remove that link and are directing you to just go to the admin center. So when I saw this message, Daryl, I kind of put my hands up like, what is going on here? I don't understand this. And the only thing I could think of was maybe that code that, because if you're an admin and you open up OneDrive, you'll notice that link doesn't show up immediately. It shows up after like a second delay because there's some code having to render that. Maybe that's causing a performance problem or something, and that code, and they just want to remove the code. I'm not really sure what would be that purpose other than that. I don't know.
Is there any other product in the stack which has a pointer like this that you can think of? Or do OneDrive people just need more help?
Well, there. If you go to PowerBI.com and you're in Power BI, there's a nifty little admin dashboard link in the menu. I mean, I think it's all over the board of differences of how this works. But I don't know the reason why. It actually just makes it less convenient for admins, I think. But I'm sure there's a really good reason, Daryl. I just don't know what it is.
Well, look for that change, and just know that if you want to use the OneDrive admin center, then go there. So
Bookmark it.
yeah, bookmark it. So you actually literally have to type admin.onedrive.com to get there. There will be no link in the admin center
Having
to get there.
to remove my hand from the mouse to the keyboard to type, I don't know, Daryl. I don't like it. Don't know.
Next update. Update to the M365 roadmap product filters. This is MC213960. We go to the roadmap. We've got various ways to check out these updates. This one purely is a flow on from that change to the frequency and channels that we have available for updates for Office. Now we have Microsoft Enterprise channel. Then there's going to be the ability to filter and see updates based on that. Simply that. How about this one? How about this one? SharePoint default site theme changing from blue to teal. MC213 968, just in time for it's not called SharePoint Conference now. What's it called?
The SharePoint, SharePoint conference was rescheduled to next year.
Yes.
And there is a conference, a community type conference. It is the Microsoft 365 Marathon, virtual marathon,
That's
that's
it.
happening this week. I'm speaking.
Repurposing all those speakers.
Yeah, I'm actually speaking as well at that conference on Wednesday of US time. But yeah, this is changing the theme. Now, let's understand what this is doing. And they've given us a nice chart below to tell us will it be impacted. But basically, this will be rolling out in late June. So we've got time here. They're actually giving us a month to target a release, standard release in early July. So quickly following on. So what they're going to do is new sites that you create will automatically have that new teal theme. And then existing sites that have not been customized will be updated. And so what's customized mean? Customized means with a theme. So if you've applied a different theme to the site, then it won't get this new teal theme. Should you prepare for this change? Probably not necessarily, although I think maybe letting everyone know it's coming, maybe, but because some people will look at it and go, wait, this color has changed. It's freaking me out. Some people will do that, but I mostly deal with people who have intranets who have already themed their sites, so this won't affect them. But it's for those that have created sites that maybe they haven't attached to the hub of their intranet, or the hub they have attached to hasn't, put down a theme, then it won't change. But I think that's very interesting and one to remember. And it'd be interesting, it did not say this necessarily, is what if you have a hub and the hub hasn't been changed, theme, right? And so there's sites that have applied to it. I'm assuming that, everything in that hub and then sites that are joined to that hub are all getting the teal theme, the new theme.
I would hope that being a hub means that you've signaled that you want and have more control over your theming, and if you haven't chosen to change it, then that's for a reason. I mean, it's one of those things you can do with the hub sites, and certainly one of the benefits. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, so look for that, and I bring up that it's interesting because usually around this time there is SharePoint Conference, there is the marathon that is going on, so it's still something that's signaling, say, hey, we've got something to show and reinforce that new branding color. I know one certain chap who's well known in the SharePoint community who does not like teal will love this one.
And I think that's good to know that, with this marathon that's happening this week, there will be some announcements. We did get an announcement last week with Microsoft Lists, which are pulling out lists out of SharePoint sites into their own UI. It's not pulling it out of SharePoint, it's just giving it that UI. But so it's interesting, or it's good to know things will be announced this week.
We'll pick up the pace because I know we're pushing here to
Here we
time.
go. Yes.
All right, so we have an update to sharing links that block downloads, MC213970. You will have the ability to block a few more different document types, PDFs, images, audio files, etc.
Which is
So,
awesome. You're
yeah.
sharing links and you don't want people to download things. We were able to do it with Office documents, now with other types of documents, which is awesome.
We have another change to. Oh, and this is the headline. This is the
The
headline.
headline. Yep.
Why did I choose this one? Should give you the choice sometime, dude. You should tell me. I'm like, oh, I think I'd like this one. Anyway, share the responsibility. This one, I think, a big deal, and I called it out in the blurb for the episode as well. That ever since Skype for Business and the acquisition of Skype, there was a lot of talk around, hey, why don't we just make every meeting a Skype meeting? Why don't we just, automatically add those details if you've got the service connected? And finally, that's happening at least from Outlook on the web and Outlook mobile. Create a meeting, Teams details will be added. So I like this because it's really inclusive. It's signaling that,
Yes.
sure, Daniel and I might be meeting in person, and
Yes.
so why would I need to put the details there? But
Well,
what if
yeah.
something happens?
Exactly. And I think that's starting up a making a meeting, a Teams meeting requires forethought. And or you have to go back and add and do all those kind of things. And I
Or a
think
habit.
right. And so I think it's actually a good thing. You're right. What happens if we're planning on meeting in person and you have to stay home because you have a someone you have to take care of or something? I mean, whatever it is, then your meeting link is already there. You don't have to deal with, oh, could you please call me or set up a whatever. It's already there. So I'm loving this update. You're right. It's more inclusive as to, and what if we want to invite someone else that won't be in person? So I think it's a fantastic update. The only thing, the only caveat I think is it'll be interesting to know, will we run out of GUIDs? That's an inside joke for SharePoint people, but basically trying to turn in every meeting into a Skype or Teams meeting, depending on your default. That's a lot of Teams meetings that may not go used, right?
So
So it's
the
interesting.
the SharePoint joke was probably in relation to the number of SharePoint sites that get created, and you might think that think about that. Well, then think about how many meetings are created daily. Will we run out of meeting GUIDs, meeting links?
I don't think we will. I'm sure it's in the billions of the way that it's created. It's just,
We'll be
and I, it was kind of a
fine.
joke. It wasn't serious. I was, but
So there's a few other things you can do around controlling that meeting. You've got that screenshot there for those on the podcast. It's being able to end and start your meeting early. But yeah, you can flick a switch into the settings and set it for yourself. Yes, I want to add an online meeting to all meetings. And I expect that while that's no, it just says Outlook Mobile. It doesn't say iOS or Android. It says the both. It's going to come to both.
And admins can do this. It is default for false, but you can set it as an admin with PowerShell. So review that at the bottom of that update.
Core quality dashboard. It's another change to an admin
Teams from Skype.
experience. Teams and Skype. So version 2 data's being retired. MC213996. I won't pretend to know much about that, but just that this update said, huh, we've seen that you used to use this at some point. I probably did. I probably clicked in and said, oh, what's this cool report? It's nice to see that there are still updates that have been delivered this way. So it thinks that it matters to me, and it's going to be retired. Not to say that we won't have core quality readouts,
No,
just
it's
it'll
just
be somewhere else.
a different place. That's right.
Okay, this one's been quite crucial, this series of updates around temporary feature adjustments to the impacts to Microsoft 365 services and how things have been dialed down to deal with the flow of people and organizations using it. It's MC207439, and the update this time is a change to Stream. Video search experience in Stream will be temporarily excluded from a few regions.
Right.
Have a
So
look for yourself.
this is just transcripts. It's not the title and description, but it's the transcripts. But there are several regions there, including US East. So make sure you check that out.
And is US East the one that has a lot of
A lot.
traffic?
That's a huge data center.
All right, so search does impact. So keep up to date with things happening there. We expect that gradually these things will return as they're able to catch up with the service provisioning and equipment and things like that. Inline edit, this is another one that's kind of related to that. Toggle for OneNote and Teams. One of the services, if you had a look at that other update, talked about OneNote was in read-only mode when you're using it within Teams. Now, at least you'll have a button to say, yes, I do want to edit that. So they are going to allow editing, but you have to signal it. It's not going to be just an automatic thing that'll
That's
throw
right.
you into edit mode. That's MC214011. We all love OneNote, so it's good to
This
see
is a
that
great
coming
update.
back in. Yep.
Yep.
Document libraries and lists, save a view and quick edit and quick edit page size expanding. MC214047. Yeah, quick edit. Yeah, I think you were saying this last week. Yeah, last week,
Yeah.
Alan.
So this one is so quick edit, where you're able to quickly edit all of the column information in a SharePoint list is fantastic. Being able to just copy paste and go, it's a fantastic feature. There's two updates to this one. One is save a view in quick edit, and the other is expanding it to 100 items instead of just 30, which is great. So the first one, though, I'd like to just make a quick comment. You can save a view in Quick Edit, meaning anytime someone comes to a view of this SharePoint list, it will be a Quick Edit. It won't be in regular view, mode, standard mode, whatever. It'll be in Quick Edit mode view. So this is harking back to actually if you created a SharePoint list in Classic years ago, when you created a SharePoint list and did a you could actually create it as a quick edit view list, and it would always open that way. So this is coming to modern to be able to save a view this way. So just be aware that if you save the view, then that's what it's going to do. It's going to be that for everyone.
And if it is a list or library where you are going to need to make updates a lot like that, then maybe that's a useful view. This feature, screen recording available in Microsoft Stream MC214048, at a very basic level, means that you can open up Stream and you can click a button to say, I want to record my screen. I want to create a video. And it's all going to be powered and controlled within modern web browsers. To Chrome and Chromium, and you'll be able to just create that recording. It'll go straight through to Stream and be available for people to use. Of course, permissions and titles and stuff like that.
It'll
But
be interesting to see this
yeah,
functionality, see how well it works. I haven't tried it yet, so it'll be interesting.
yeah. I had a talk with someone in the education side of things, and said, "Well, how useful is this? You know, well, can't you just do this in PowerPoint?" But one of the points they made was, you know, sometimes we don't necessarily give the software out for people to use. So they might not have
Sure.
PowerPoint, but they might want to make that screen recording.
Yeah.
Do more. New feature, access Power BI data within Excel, MC214049. What can we say about this, Daniel?
Well, this is actually pretty advanced stuff, and pretty slick. It's only for E5 plans, Microsoft 365, E5, Office 365, A5s as well. And so this is the ability for while I am in Excel to declare information, organization data, and it being pulled in from Power BI. It's fantastic. It's a really, I think, a great service. It's not available yet, so we definitely can't show it to you. But be looking out you have a 5, an E5 or an A5 license, and you're using Power BI data. This is a fantastic update for you. And be looking out for. I would refer you to the Guys in a Cube podcast with Patrick. Will probably show this off, and Adams probably will show this off. So definitely be checking that out.
Interesting formatting here too. I know I'm in
Yeah,
dark mode, but it's like
it is.
I hover over and it's highlighted, found here.
Yes.
It's a hyperlink, and yes, anyway. Last one. Yeah, another thing that doesn't show so well in dark mode is the Power BI icon in the list. could switch to yellow. Updated plan maintenance. Yeah. Not much to say about that, just that the maintenance is going to happen
They
pretty
pushed
soon.
it. It was going to happen before this, but they pushed it. So just know it's
June
scheduled for June
8th.
7th.
Oh, 7th.
Well, it's June
7th for you, 8th
7th
for me.
at 3 o'clock UTC in the morning. So yeah. and ending
Oh,
June
you did the
7th.
conversion for people who are watching you in Central.
Right. Well, it's
Can you do
UTC
the
I'm giving,
conversion for
so
everyone
it's
else? Thanks, you know.
yeah.
No,
It's
okay.
10 p.m. Central actually on the 6th, so.
All right. See, it's a habit he has. It's good, you know, he's thinking of his customers and his time zone and well, good. All
Well, and I
right,
think actually
yeah.
what's ha maybe happening here is actually your planned time is different than mine.
Could be that too. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I think that's maybe what happened. Wow, thank you everyone. Daryl, I think we blew through these. We talked about Microsoft List actually coming. That's an update that's not here. I actually had an announcement just letting us know that everyone now has Teams with 10,000 membership limit has been increased to 10,000. So that's fantastic. I mean, we've had a really big show, Daryl. I think we call it a day.
Yeah, I think we have to. And you know, we're not saying don't keep working at stuff. Microsoft stopped giving us updates. But maybe we'll have to start getting a bit picky and choosy about what we do cover. All right, well that's the show. Thank you for sticking around. Sorry for the experimental technical difficulties at the beginning, but we got there in the end. And catch us again next week. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.